glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're here. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Well, everyone certainly loves you, and Almighty God loves you in a unique way. He created you. He has plans and purposes for your life. You're different than anyone in all creation. You're unique, and you've been given some gifts and plans and purposes to bring about kingdom transformational work, hopefully in your own heart, and maybe you can be used of God to help others. And on this Testimony Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012, I'm delighted to introduce you to one of our friends, for a variety of reasons, and we'll share that in just a moment. But I want to point out, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, we had Answering the Call author David Wisher. He's an Urbana firefighter, and he's going to be at our meet and greet at the Champagne Olive Garden Restaurant, and it's going to be something that we're launching throughout this month of April. The Olive Garden Restaurant's going to give discounts to all the Great News Radio listeners from 4 to 6 p.m., and we're going to have different radio staff and authors, artists, musicians in the Olive Garden Restaurant, and tonight you'll be able to meet up from 4 to 6 today at the Olive Garden Restaurant. I have to think about it because this re-airs in the evening too. And so it's like, okay, so when you hear the re-airing, it's too late. Yeah. Who am I? Why am I here? What was that? Wasn't that Ross Perot's vice president?
Ross Perot many times said, young. Who am I and what am I?
Yeah, well, it was his vice presidential candidate. Well, anyways. So tonight at the Olive Garden Restaurant, Kathleen Jennings, watercolor artist, along with Urbana firefighter and author Dave Wisher, Steve Carmichael representing the staff, and we may have some other special group or people involved. So Olive Garden Restaurant, 4 to 6 p.m. tonight. Well, anyways, Jason, I thought maybe the best way for you to introduce our special guest on this Testimony Tuesday would be for you to introduce that special guest in a unique way, maybe praying her up or sharing something that you know that's true or indicative about this young lady.
Normally, before we start the show, we pray up the show and we pray, you know, God, how do you want to use this broadcast, you know, to reach listeners? God, just begin to prepare hearts. And so I just said, hey, Mark, let's do it on the air because I want to model what I think we should be doing. So if we just take a moment and just pray for the show, and I just want to specifically pray. I got my wife, Tasha, here in the studio, and she recently went to Hearts at Home. And she came in to share with us what that experience was like. So I just want to take a moment and just pray out of Proverbs 31. And Proverbs 31 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And it goes on and it talks about what this wife is. But it says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And therefore, his wife has something to do with the respect that's brought to him at the city gates. It says he's respected at the city gates where he takes his seat among the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come, and she speaks with wisdom, and a faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of the household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you, Tasha, you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And so, God, I just thank you for my wife, Tasha, who doesn't just sit idle, who raises our children in such a way that they know better who you are. Every single day, they know more of who you are. And God, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But God, my wife, she fears the Lord. And God, that is such a beautiful, beautiful trait. And so God, I just ask that as we begin to speak now, that if there's any women who are listening, that maybe you'll use my wife to reach and touch their hearts. Maybe to change some families. Maybe to bring some wisdom. Maybe to call us out of our idleness. But God, I just thank you first and foremost for this woman that you brought into my life who changed my life. And God, it all came from you and it all began in you. So we just give this program to you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, thank you, Tasha.
A about it. It's been great having the whole family here. I think it's the first time you've been here in the home, Tosh. Jason is kind of a regular each and every Wednesday on our Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and he's done the whole nature trail and everything with me. And earlier, you and the kids were out in the yard at various points, going through the leaves, seeing the tree fort. I don't think anyone got into the Sangamon River at this point.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
But that could be happening right now. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you have Jacob, and Jacob was featured, for those of you that missed last Wednesday's broadcast. Jacob shared a little of his insights into that creation museum, and down the road, I know, Jason, you're working with Ken Ham and others, so we can have a whole series, maybe a whole week.
Yeah, we want to have something where we're going to talk about Genesis 1. We're going to really tackle what's happening in Genesis 1. I know those of you who went through our Ephesians experience is thinking, yeah, right, we'll get to Genesis 1:1, and then, you know, next year maybe we'll do Genesis 1:2, and maybe we'll work on from there. We're trying to put together that. We've been in the works now with Ken Ham and also Dr. Jason Lyle, who's at the Creation Research Institute. I mean, those two people who are going to come on and do an interview and talk about a biblical worldview of creation and what it means to read the Bible literally and believe that this supernatural God did these supernatural acts. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, Jason, you introduced Tasha. You've talked about her over the air in the past months, and many that tuned in and heard the whole Valentine story of how Tasha creatively sent out that Valentine, and that was even posted on our website. And what I've done again is I've lifted up, Tasha, I hope this was okay, that picture of you and Abigail, and I reposted it on our website so our listeners can kind of see who you are and see that lovely picture of you and Abigail.
Where I'm holding her up?
Yeah. And we have little Abigail also in the studio. If our listeners can listen carefully, they might pick up that voice on the mic. And last Wednesday, we had Jacob in the studio. So how about you introducing your children? Tell us a little about Molly and Abigail and Jacob.
Okay. Well, first we have Jacob is 6. He is our brainiac in our family. He loves Legos. He loves to build. He loves to write books right now.
He's a rule keeper, too.
He's a rule keeper. He's constantly writing those books right now. And then we have Molly, who is 3, and she is our dancer. And we have Abigail, who is our baby, and she's eating Cheerios nonstop right now.
And Jacob's a rule keeper because I thought it was really funny. We attended the Cirque du Soleil show about a week ago or so while we were on vacation. And in the beginning, they say, you know, this is the Cirque du Soleil. Please, for the protection of the performers, turn off your cell phones and cameras. And I had my cell phone on, but kind of on my leg. And Jacob leans over and he goes, Papa, you need to turn that off. And I'm like, oh, busted by a 6-year-old.
Well, I'm glad you're all here and you're going to be able to share some of your heart at home nuggets. I know last week we talked about how when you were on vacation at the Creation Museum and that 3 and 4 and 5 hour drives, you got to share some of those nuggets. And Jason said, save some of those insights for the radio listeners and share some of the things you learned. So I guess what, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 women gathered a few weeks ago?
I heard it was a record breaking attendance this year.
I think we interviewed one of the founders or heads of it because she said that the phenomenon that happens each and every year is all the chocolate in the Bloomington Normal area evaporates. It's just gone because all these women merge to the area. So you had a number of takeaways from that experience.
My biggest takeaways with Every Heart's at Home is that I'm sitting with 6,000 other women that are leading their children and being with their children and are going through the same things that I'm going through, that we're all mommies and we are not all perfect, and that it's amazing to watch all of these women worship together and be together and laugh together. It's just a great time.
Probably somewhat similar to that phenomenon that happened with the Promise Keepers, where these guys got together and the worship time. And the guys connecting and bonding and sharing life experiences and struggles and heartaches and being with other men where you could be a little more transparent or vulnerable.
At the beginning, we start off with worship, obviously. It's just amazing to watch these women all standing up, praising the Lord and singing the same songs, you know, and lamenting the same things. And it's just, it makes me weep every time you stand around. And of course, in the bag, they give us chocolate, tissues, and a pen. So we can take notes for the future, you know, so we can keep track of what we're learning, dry our eyes, and the chocolate to keep us going.
Yeah. Keep you motivated. Well, women have that tendency to naturally share, to connect, to be transparent, to be vulnerable, you know, to share their lives openly. So that's kind of a natural way that you're wired, or that's built in. So how did that maybe enhance the experience?
I call it mommy school.
So
you can give your man answer, and then she'll go, mommy school?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so help me kind of understand, as a guy, what was going on for the women throughout this conference.
We went to mommy school.
Mommy school.
We learned how to be better mommies and better wives, too.
Now, I won't put you on the spot, Jason, but did you see a change or something implemented right away where you thought, I got to keep sending her to this every year? This is great.
Well, you know what? I would tell you this, and it's not just Tasha, but I've seen it in some other people. And we had a friend of Tasha's who stayed overnight. But you see people beforehand, and they look a little ragged. And they go away to something like this. And I think it's the same phenomenon as Promise Keepers. And you come back, and there's something that happens in this setting that's able to fill your cup like nothing else is. And I think that a lot of the moms, probably when they go there, their cup is a little empty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then they go in there, and not only does this person giving maybe a lecture or whatever pour into them, but they pour into each other by sharing stories. I think you don't feel quite so isolated either.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That can be a real tendency for moms. You're consumed by the tasks at hand. There's the kids to take care of, maybe the husband or the situation, or for the single moms, they're working, they're trying to be a mom, and they're handling all the different responsibilities and trying to nurture the kids, being poured out, feeling isolated. So I'm sure it must be like a breath of fresh air to find other women that have those similar experiences or are drained. And you're drained too. You have to do that. How do you get through it? And so that network of helping each other or empathizing, I'm sure, is powerful.
It is absolutely a breath of fresh air. To hear Michelle Duggar saying that she's crying out to Jesus just as much as we are in the laundry room, you know, surrounded by 20 people's worth of laundry and just crying out to the Lord, like, I need help.
Yeah, give us some context, because that was a great story that you shared, but share that story with Michelle Duggar in the laundry.
And explain who she is, because okay. Maybe some of our listeners are like, I don't know that name, or I'm unfamiliar with them, because I had never heard of them till we met them in Israel.
Really?
And so, no, I had no clue.
Wait, the Duggars were in Israel?
The September trip. We were in a hotel with all their kids and the family, and they were filming them in Israel. And so that's where I met them. I sat at their table and talked to them for a while and said, someday I'd put them on the air. And I think
you need a bigger room.
They had like 17 of the 20 or 21 kids. And I just marveled at how healthy and all American they looked. And so it was interesting. But they were in Israel. I guess that was the September trip where we got to talk with them. So that's the first time I had heard of them. So maybe explain a little who that family is.
Michelle Duggar is known for being on the network TLC, and she has a show. She and her husband have a show called 19 Kids and Counting. It changes every year because obviously they keep having children. So right now I think it's 19 Kids and Counting, and the show follows them. It's just a reality show, and they follow them. But the interesting thing about the Duggars is that they requested that they not be edited in any way. They wanted to get their story out. They wanted people to hear and see that they are a Christian family living in a biblical way.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the tendency of those networks might be to edit out the Bible stuff, and they specifically, didn't they say they wanted that in there?
Absolutely. They wanted it in there. But the story about Michelle, what I was going to say, is that I think she had 4 children at the time. It was a very small amount of children in relation to what she's got now.
Yeah.
She was standing in the laundry room and just at 2 o'clock in the morning, just tears streaming down her face and just feeling totally overwhelmed. And she's just crying out to the Lord, help me, Lord, I need some help with this laundry, and just trying to get through the night and just trying to get through the day. And the next day she sees someone at our church, and this lady says, Michelle, you look exhausted. Is there some way I can help you? And Michelle just said, yes, laundry. And so this lady still comes over and does their laundry. She washes it. She folds it. Everything from beginning to end. She's all these years, she's been folding their laundry and has been a real blessing to that family. And you hear her talk about Nana on the show, and that's who she's talking about, is the person who folds their laundry.
Well, as you share that, I'm just thinking, for all of us, just that simple act of helping the neighbor, whether it's folding laundry. I mean, sometimes we think, well, I can't be that missionary out in Bangladesh or sharing the gospel in these foreign countries or doing these huge things for the kingdom. It's like, wait a minute. Can you fold someone's laundry? Can you maybe say, can I babysit for 2 hours to free you up to take a nap in the afternoon?
It's an excellent way to speak to a mama's heart, is to offer to do laundry or hold a baby.
What were some of the other things that were shared or challenging for you that you thought, oh, I've never thought of it that way, or I never thought my role to be that help me meant doing this, or, gosh, I know all about sacrificial love. I think every mom that just, they learn that really quick.
That's like rule number one, yeah, sacrificial love. The way Hearts at Home works is that you go to workshops. Everybody meets together in Braden Auditorium, and we all worship together, and there's a lead speaker. And then we all break out into different sessions. And so my first session, I wanted to hear the Duggars. And so we heard her first. And then we heard Raising Grateful Kids in a Culture of Consumerism. That was Mary Ann Miller who spoke. She was amazing, teaching our kids to be grateful and to be happy with what you have in the moment, teaching them the difference between joy and abundance and what is enough and what is too much.
Yeah, let me back you up a little bit, because I want to ask you a couple things, because there were some takeaways that you brought to the table that I thought were great, and I don't want you to miss them, because I don't want the listeners to miss them is really the big thing. Number one was funny, and number two I think was very poignant. When somebody told me that the Duggars were going to be at Hearts at Home, I was kind of a little pessimistic. I go, oh, that's kind of their marquee act. You know, they got them because they're on TV. They got them because of this. So I was a little like, the Duggars. I mean, you know, people are going to clap because they watch the show and they're going to do that. But when you came back from Hearts at Home the first day and I said, hey, give me one takeaway that you got. I think you got back and it was really late at night. Or maybe it was even the next morning. But whatever it was, we didn't have a lot of time. And I said, give me one takeaway that you got. And you said, Michelle Duggar says that if we're parenting with the Holy Spirit and with the Spirit of God, and one of the gifts of that is self-control, that we wouldn't lose our patience, lose our temper, and yell at our kids, but we would talk to them in a very controlled and even manner. And you said that when Michelle Duggar's kids get out of control, she actually talks lower. She whispers so that then they have to listen to her and pay more attention.
Exactly. She whispers to them instead of shouting and yelling at them like most, like would be instinct for a lot of moms. And Michelle said just to get down at their level and whisper, because you might really freak them out when you do that.
Yeah.
at the beginning, but they really listen because you're talking so softly. They have to strain to listen to what
you're saying. So the funny takeaway was that day, that was Saturday, you went back to Hearts at Home, and Jacob and Molly were just, you know, there was a second day with Dad, so it's like free for all. You know, and they're like, hey, we can have chocolate for breakfast. We can, you know, what are we going to do next? And they did something that I was just really upset. And I stopped and I go, Michelle Duggar. And I go, okay, Jacob, I need you to go clean your room. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, you're scaring me. So I go, wow, this really works.
Totally
works. And there was another takeaway that you brought that I thought was really great. We talked about it in the car. And Michelle Duggar said something about sowing seeds of divorce.
That was actually someone else, but
okay, yeah, can you
conversation.
Can you talk about that? Because that, for me, I wrote it down in my notes, and I was driving at the time, but it was really powerful.
She was, Michelle Duggar?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I have it in the first thing in my notes. Before your abundance woman. Before Miller. We're a practiced act.
Right now I could be racking up the blueprint.
We've been prepping for weeks. Dun, dun, dun. We're glad Tasha's here.
So Michelle Duggar gets a lot of questions, obviously, from parents and moms wanting to know how she does it. And one of the questions was, how do you keep your marriage strong? And she was saying not to put each other down, that those are seeds of divorce, that you don't talk bad about your husband with your friends. You don't say nasty things to your husband. You are always using words of encouragement and loving words around your husband, and that will help keep your marriage strong.
I think what's interesting, you referred to it or referenced it a few minutes ago, the quietness, but allowing the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and that self-control, and really all that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I have all of them, or maybe
she
one
lists
out of
them
order.
All out at DuggarFamily.com. There's a link, a PDF that you can go to and print it out.
And I like that concept, that self-control, because if our listeners or any of us, if we're throwing a temper tantrum or getting loud or screaming, we have lost that self-control. Yeah. And then the encouraging words, the honoring, the love, joy, the peace, the patience, are you being patient? Are you being kind? And if we're saying unkind words about our spouse, about anyone, we got to really reevaluate, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, or are we operating in the flesh?
when Tasha shared that with me, I go, this is powerful. And it really sent me off on a tangent because I go, okay, anytime I'm not being loving, I'm not in the spirit. Anytime I'm not able to find joy in this moment, I'm allowing the moment to be more powerful than the Holy Spirit's word to me or the Holy Spirit's voice. Anytime I'm not experiencing peace, I can't exert patience. I can't show kindness. I can't show goodness. And by the way, when you think about that in terms of that, when you go, hey, are these markers for where I'm at in the spirit, I go like, oh boy, am I not doing well today? But I mean, in the same token, I think that because aren't I called to parent with God? Aren't I called to love my wife with God, to be in my marriage with God? I mean, we're called to do things with God, not do things apart from God. So I think that any time that we move outside of this Galatians 5:22 and 5:23 kind of markers of the fruits of the Spirit, I think those are the times that we start doing things without God. And I think that that's pretty dangerous. And I think that that's when we're sowing different seeds.
Exactly. And that was another thing that she said about keeping your marriage strong was praying with one another. And obviously Jesus is the glue that keeps their marriage strong.
Yeah, you know, and at the end of the day, no matter where you are or what you've seen or what's happened to you, you can lean into Jesus. Because, I mean, if we read the scriptures, Jesus has been hungry. He was persecuted. Jesus was tired. Go through the scriptures and look for the moments. Jesus has done everything and anything you have ever done or experienced. There isn't a place that you are that Jesus hasn't been. There aren't places in your marriage that you haven't been that Jesus probably didn't experience those same emotions. So Jesus wants to be invited into all those situations and wants to be a part of them. And since Jesus, I mean, we believe this, Jesus authored our marriage, then shouldn't we always be standing before Jesus? I mean, it's funny that we stand on the wedding day before the pastor and we get married and we stand in the sight of God. And I think that's one of the things they say at weddings, you know, here in the sight of God, you know, we're going to bring these two people together. But do we believe then that we're in the sight of God all the time? Or do we step outside of that? You know, and sometimes I think that's easy to forget.
Exactly.
Amen to that, Jason. Amen to that, Tasha. We do, in fact, stand in the sight of God, and Jesus is the author of our marriages. What a great reminder to lean into Jesus. He's been there. He wants to be a part of our experience. I'm going to ask you two to stay around in the studio. We can talk some more and have part two tomorrow. Tasha, we're so glad that you learned so much at the Hearts at Home and are willing to enlighten our listeners. So stay in the studio. We'll continue with part two tomorrow, everyone. And if you can make it out to the Olive Garden restaurant tonight, anytime between 4 and, say, 6:15 p.m., discount dinners are available. It's going to be a Great News Radio meet and greet. We'll have author and firefighter David Wisher, who is on Monday's program, watercolor artist Kathleen Jennings. She'll have a display set up with her many works depicting scenes from the Holy Land. Steve Carmichael, our project manager, who helped put on our community appreciation event. I'll be there serving water and refreshments, probably serving your very table. Anytime 4 to 6 p.m., Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night. And I hope to see many of you between 4 and 6 o'clock to have dinner at the Olive Garden Restaurant for the Great News Radio meet and greet.